I'm married in 6 months. That was my choice.
Oh, you got lots of time.
Cindy Maxwell, the wedding planner. Cindy Maxwell, the wedding planner. As long as it's not. It says that we're supposed to buy your wedding.
She might be.
We're doing the retreat, September 8th and 9th, called In Pursuit of God's Heart. And we just wanted to know, those of you who are already signed up, that the full payment is due by the 27th. So if you haven't already paid, we'd like all the money in by the 27th. Okay? So that's the first thing. The second thing that I wanted to announce is that we no longer have a piano down here. And so we have to consider as a council, do we want to do the up the stairs, down the stairs thing again, and so we can utilize the piano upstairs? Or maybe you all know of someone that could donate a piano, keyboard, something to us, where it could, you know, remain here so there's not this carting back and forth thing. So just keep that in prayer, because that is something we need to consider for our worship time. Or if somebody plays the guitar, or something like that. So those are some options that we can consider for singing together as we worship the Lord in that way. The last announcement I want to make affects mostly the moms in here who have children 6th grade and under. And I just kind of wanted to give you guys a heads up of a policy change that's going to be taking place at the church that many of the leaders were informed about last night, that starting September 10th, the big date, just September 10th, when we change to different services, we also start up Sunday school again. We are starting a policy that will ensure the safety of our children in a better way than we have been doing, especially with our church as it's growing. And that is that from here on out, starting September 10th, we will need to sign our children in and sign them out of the classes. So if you're dropping your kids off in any area all the way up to 6th grade, you will need to sign them in and sign them out. This is a little bit confusing. 6th grade is being included because we have a 5th and 6th grade class. The actual cutoff is 5th grade, but because we have a 5th and 6th grade class that's combined, therefore the 6th grade kids are involved in this. So what that means is any parent who does the dropping off, that same parent has to do the picking up. Okay? So if I go and drop off my kids, Harry cannot go and pick them up. I have to go pick them up. Okay? So mainly because, yes, all of us know each other, but there are families that come along where we really don't know who the husband and wife is. And just to ensure safety, we need to follow those guidelines. So I just thought I'd give you guys a heads up.
So that means that's big brothers and sisters are allowed to pick up.
Not even big brothers or sisters. It has to be the adults. Okay? So I just thought I'd give you guys a heads up. That will be starting to be announced in the Sunday morning services so that people are aware that this big change is coming. But I thought I'll use this opportunity. So with that said, we don't have a piano tonight. And what we thought we might do is I picked a few psalms to read. And in lieu of singing together, that we would read some psalms together. And if there is, there's enough time where a couple of you have a psalm that's particularly touched your heart maybe this week or the last week or so, and you want to read it out loud, this is the way in which we are going to worship the Lord at this time. So, one that I wanted to, well, I have three. So, Psalm 89. I'm going to start with verse 6. I'm going to read 6 through 8 and then 11 through 18. Psalm 89, 6 through 8 and then 11 through 18. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Holy Ones? I'm sorry, is like the Lord. A God greatly feared in the council of the Holy Ones and awesome above all those who are around him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord? And then dropping down to 11. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day, and by your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. And then in 97, I was going to start in 10. And this is more an exhortation, and then because of how great our God is and how what I just read, it says, hey, evil, this is 97 verse 10, and starting there to 12. And in light of how great our Lord is, this is what it says. Hey, evil, you who love the Lord, who preserve the souls of his godly ones, he delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown like seed for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name. The other one I had was back in 78, starting in verse 5. And this is kind of why we do all the things we do at church. Just the emphasis on God's word and the importance of sharing it from generation to generation and raising godly offspring and people and children who fear God. So starting in verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That's what I had picked out for this time. Does anybody else have a psalm that, or any verse, it doesn't have to be the psalm, anything that the Lord has been showing you that you want to share at this point in time as we're worshiping God in this way? Go ahead, Carol.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my strength. In Him will I trust. For it is He who delivers me from the snare of the trapper and from the ungodly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings may I seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by the day, of the noisome pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach thee. You will only look on your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him, and let him behold my salvation. Amen.
Praise the Lord. That was Psalm 91.
Yes.
Yes, Tanya.
Psalm 34, 4 through 10. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him there is no want. The young lions do not lack and suffer hunger, but they who... The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I don't have my Bible, but if you could read Psalm 8.
Psalm 8.
Do you want to use mine to read it?
Sure. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name above all the earth. Who has set your glory above the heavens? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, who is man, that you are mindful of him, and the son of man, that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angel, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to domain over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Amen. Thank you, Yvonne. Go ahead, Linda.
Well, this is just one verse at the end of 2 Samuel 24, but in the light of what's happening in the world, and this is after Gad told David to go build the altar at Arunah. And it says, David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Thus the Lord was moved by prayer for the land, and the plague was held back from Israel. And that's just really encouraged me to have hope. And it's really been a blessing the last week.
Praise the Lord. Does anybody else have something?
Go ahead, Rosie. Psalm 143, and starting with verse 8 through 12. Says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, O Lord, for in thee do I trust.
Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy righteousness' sake, for thy mercy's sake, cut off all my enemies, and destroy all those that adversely afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. And it just meant a lot to me every morning just to ask the Lord to help me hear his loving kindness. Teach me the way, and it says, teach me the way wherein I should walk. And it just says so many things in a few verses, and then it concludes that the reason we want to do that is because then we can be his servants. Okay. Serve him because, you know, you're free from your enemies, and you're looking to him. It's just kind of lost me for a long time.
Praise God. I don't know your name.
My name's Christiana.
Christiana?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have one from Psalm 51.
Okay.
Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sin. Wash me clean from your guilt, from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For recognize my rebellion, it haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You have proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins, remove the stain from my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be praised with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. So that just kind of encouraged me, because it says that God will blot out our sins and he can purify us from anything that we struggle with in our life.
Amen. Let's close this time with singing just a cappella, I Love You, Lord. And then we'll have Karen Belchek. We have the honor of having Karen come and teach us tonight. And so let's just sing, I Love You, Lord.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to
open in prayer, so if you'll join me, please. Precious Jesus, I just thank you for this time that you've given us to come and worship you, to glorify your name, to praise you and thank you for all that you've done in our lives, for gathering these women together, for blessing our fellowship, for blessing the meal that was provided tonight. May those who prepared the meal be blessed and May this time be glorifying to you. Father, I just ask that you calm my nerves, that the words that have been prepared will be honoring to you, glorifying you to you, and may the message be clear, and that you're exalted in everything that is said and done tonight. We ask these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. This has been an enormous honor to prepare a topic on prayer, and has been something that when I said I would talk in August or teach in August, I kept coming up with things that were more testimonial, and I wanted it to be a teaching. And I've been having the privilege of taking care of my mother this summer. And one morning I was in the other room and I was praying and talking, and she's like, "What are you talking about? Who are you talking to?" And I just told her, I said, "Well, I'm talking to God. I'm praying to God." And that's foreign to her as a non-believer. And so it was through that conversation, though, that the Lord just said that that's what I need to be focusing on is prayer. And so I wanted to talk about the art of communication this evening and how vital it is in our daily lives. And I want to ask a couple of questions. So how many of you have access to the internet and the use of emails? I know we were talking about it at our table. Okay. How long does it take you to check your emails? A couple of minutes, half hour, or maybe even longer. Okay. Do we use email more often than speaking with that person face-to-face, or taking the time to send a card or letter, or something that is much more intimate? In the past few months, Larry is my husband, and he's been on the prayer chain, has received a number of cards, and they have meant and touched our hearts deeply. They've been a word of encouragement, and to know that people have been praying for us. So a card and a note certainly can go a long way with our body of believers. Now, we've talked about emails. What about our cell phones? We heard some of those going off a little bit ago. How many of you have the 300-minute plan? The 600-minute plan? The 900-minute plan? And then we have free nights and weekends. And what I want to know is how many of us spend the same amount of time in prayer as we do using our modern modes of communication? How much time do we spend in prayer with our Heavenly Father? Is the amount of time we spend communicating via technology wasting serious time that we should be spending communicating with and listening to our Lord? Should we not put the time with Him first before we check our emails? Jesus Himself set the standard that we should be following in Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. So not only are we to do it early in the morning, but have solitary, quiet time with the Lord to begin our day, to put Him first as our foremost focus. The Old Testament is filled with directions from God about things to do and not to do in the morning. In Psalms 5:3, 88:13, 143, verse 8, all speak of praying to God in the morning to set our eyes upon Him so that He will show us the ways we should go. In Lamentations 3:22 through 26, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, I say to myself. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of our Lord. Are we beginning our mornings the way we should? And this has been quite convicting as I was preparing this, going like, no, I have to have my cup of coffee. Well, then take your coffee and go to the Lord. Now, in regards to communicating, which is the topic, this word comes from the word commune, which means to converse or confer intimately, to partake of the Eucharist, a member of a fellowship, and Pastor Tim talked about fellowships yesterday. The definition of the word communication, then, is to cause another or others to partake or to share in, to convey knowledge of, to tell as one thoughts, to transmit or exchange thoughts or knowledge, to be connected. So for having communication with our Heavenly Father, it's intimate and we're connected. As I began studying for this evening, of course, I turned to my Bible, which is the NIV Disciples Bible. And this one has a section on doctrines and life helps. And I get to do a little Vanna White thing. So I opened this up to prayer. And it was just, you know, I emailed Pastor Tim. And I was sharing with him. And it just goes on and on and on. So this column and this column and this column and this column. And this column. So I thought when I got started there that there was just so much to share and you could go so in depth and where do I begin? So again, it was a lot of prayer as to direct my thoughts here. There are over 901 scripture references in just that small section. In the Book of Lamentations, the first 5.5 chapters are a collection of prayers. And they are focused on the mourning over the destroyed Jerusalem and searching for God's direction. So you figure if there are 5.5 chapters alone teaching us that we are to seek God's will, then he expects us to take it seriously. Prayer is our personal communication with God. By spending we should be spending daily time reading and meditating upon don't turn to more than a page, his word, and we will grow in his knowledge, and we will learn his ways and desires for our lives, which will cause our prayers to be in line with his will. And that's really important, that our prayers line up with what his will is. In 1 John 5:14 through 15, this is the confidence which we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of him. In the Wayne Grudem's book, Systematic Theology, it states that if the matter we are praying about is conveyed to us in Scripture, in which God gives us a demand or a direct declaration of his will, then we know that it will be done because it is his will that his word will be obeyed and that his commands will be kept. We are to seek for perfect obedience to God's moral will in our lives so that God's will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is Matthew 6:10. For this reason, knowledge of the Scripture is a tremendous help in prayer. The regular reading and memorization of Scripture will increase the depth, power, and wisdom of our prayers. So the more that we know God's word, the stronger our prayers are going to be. Because we're going to be following his will, his decrees, his precepts in the book. So memorization is very, just having the word in within us. Jesus encourages us to have his word within us as we pray. For he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. John 15:7. The Bible is also able to teach us many aspects of prayer. There's the foundation of prayer. There's prayer in the nature of God, which will teach us about God's holiness, mercy of God, the love of God, his sovereignty, his faithfulness, to honor God, and the righteousness of God. One of the important things about prayer is that it's commanded by God. In James 4:7 through 8, it says, to submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Also in James 5:13 through 16, is any one of you in trouble? How he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him, and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So we are commanded by God to be praying for each other. And I know as a body of believers that that has been happening for Larry and I. And it's been wonderful. Jesus, obviously, is our perfect example of how we are to pray. And these are just a few of the examples that I brought from Scripture, how he prayed. In Matthew 11:25, I praise you, Father. Mark 6:46, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Luke 3:21-22. In these few scriptures, we have learned we are to pray and praise to the Father. We should pray where we won't be disturbed. The Bible tells how Christ went off to the solitary place, and he did this often, and that our prayer time will result in a better communication with God the Father. And wouldn't it be wonderful for each of us to be able to hear God tell us that he loves us, which we all know, but that he was also well pleased with us? What a blessing that will be. And he'll be able to tell us that when we spend time in prayer with him. There are many purposes of prayer, and the many purposes of prayer are to provide us with a fellowship with God, to ascertain and to do the will of God, to experience God's presence, to have spiritual growth, to receive God's answers, to receive instruction, salvation, and to inquire of God. And we're very fortunate because we have help with our prayer life. Our Holy Spirit will help us and guide us in our prayers. And then Christ as our advocate in Hebrews 9:15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Jesus Christ is our advocate and mediator to bring us into God's glory. There are a lot of different types of prayers that we can be praying. We can be praying prayers of confession, praise, thanksgiving, petition, intercession, commitment, forgiveness, and confidence. And we can use prayer in many different modes of it. Our prayers can be in the forms of worship, blessings, oaths, vows, lamenting, and music. God, through his word, provides us with biblical principles to follow when we're praying. One of the first principles is praying in Jesus' name, seeking his will whenever we are praying. As we grow in Christ and become more knowledgeable in the word, our desires are to follow God's precepts, and our will is to do his will. The second principle is that there can also be things in our lives that may hinder our prayers. Sin and unforgiveness are just two that I could mention. In Psalms 19:12-14, who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Seeking God's forgiveness of our known and unknown sins, asking him to reveal the unknown ones to us so that we may repent and not continue in sin, will help us to grow closer to God. Also, the need to not harbor unforgiveness in our hearts towards someone. If we do, then our prayers may be hindered. In Colossians 3:12-17, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with passion, with compassion, excuse me, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as we did tonight, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We also need to have the proper attitude during our prayer time. We should have an attitude of faith, humility, sincerity and earnestness, a repentant heart, and responsiveness. Now, if you're panicking and thinking I'm going to pull a Pastor Tim or a Pastor Sean and address each of these points tonight, I'm not going to. Although that every one of them is extremely important, and it takes weeks to study. And that's when I opened up my Bible and I started going, and I did convey with Pastor Tim that there's so much. This is such an incredible topic and something that if you did a word study or just got studied into it, you would be richly blessed by the Lord. He's been so merciful during this study time. So I'm not going to go into all of that in detail. But I do want to make a couple points and to know that before I do share some additional information, that the effective prayer is only made possible by the work of our mediator, Jesus Christ, and the work that he did for us on the cross. That without that, we would have no hope. And that's from 1 Timothy 2:5. And to God be the glory for that. We must come to the Heavenly Father with a humble and repentant heart, having first forgiven those who have hurt us before we can ask Jesus to forgive us. In 1 Peter 5:5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I know that's been mentioned a few times, but again, if it's in the Bible as often as it is, that's truly what God is asking us to do, is to pray with a humble, repentant heart. And then according to Wayne Grudem's book, Systematic Theology, which many of us have, or our husbands have, there are three reasons why God wants us to pray. And for those of you that have it, I took a lot of this from chapter 18. God wants us to pray because prayer is an expression of our trust in God and is the means by which our trust in him can increase. The Bible teaches us that we are to pray in faith. God already knows what and why we are coming to him. In Matthew 6:8, it assures us that your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So we are to trust and depend upon our Father in heaven. Think about your most trusted friends. Don't you depend and turn to them when things are difficult in your life? Who could possibly be more dependable and trustworthy than God himself? In Psalms 46:1, it states, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. God is faithful to be with us, and we come to know that and depend upon the truth by spending time in prayer and learning all about God's character. Psalms 125:1. Those who trust in the Lord are like the Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. Our trust, faith, and dependence upon God brings glory to himself. And when you're facing a trial and you're needing going to the Lord in prayer, just know that our trust, faith, and dependence upon God brings glory to him. And he wants us to do that. The second reason God wants us to pray is to bring us into a deeper fellowship with Him. He loves us and delights in our fellowship. We spend more time with a friend, as we spend more time with a friend, sharing your thoughts, concerns, desires, you develop a close bond and intimacy with that person. Think about people you spend a lot of time with, your friends. That same is true with the time that you spend in prayer with God. It strengthens and deepens the relationship. In verse 8 of Psalm 16, the eighth verse of Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let Your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence, and eternal pleasure at Your right hand. He will fill us with joy. And we can be in His presence right now by spending time in prayer with Him. How many of you have a friend that you go to? And it goes, and that person goes on and on and on whenever you get together. And they just talk and talk and talk and talk. And you never get a word in edgewise. You never get to, they tell you all about their cares, their issues, asking for advice, but not stopping long enough in their discourse to hear what you have to share. Some of us are like that when we pray. We go on and on and on and on. And I think the Lord would like to say respectfully, shut up, listen, and He will guide us. Okay? The fact that we don't stop and listen, it will be harder for us to know the path that God has set forth for us. Jesus instructs us in Matthew 6 through 13, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. And then Jesus then gives us the Lord's prayer as an example. Again, it needs to be an intimate conversation. There needs to be give and take with this relationship with You and our Lord in heaven. He wants to share and give you direction, but He needs you to listen for that to take place. And then in the book, Wayne Grudem's third reason to pray is that in prayer, God allows us as creatures to be involved in activities that are eternally important. When we pray, the work of the kingdom is advanced. So those are just three reasons why we are to pray, and I want to mention two types of prayer tonight. Prayers of praise and intercessory prayers. As stated before, regardless of the type of prayer that we are praying, we need to pray with a humble heart and be focused upon the outcome being according to God's will and not our own. He knows perfectly what should happen for His glory and for our benefit. And again, Jesus is our perfect example. In Matthew 26:39-42, going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as You will." No prayer in Jesus' life shows the perfection of His humanity better than the Gethsemane prayer. He would not have been human if He had not shrunk from the impending cross. He made no attempt to argue with God, argue His case. He did not suggest another way. Rather, He humbly prayed for God's direction and will, noting His desires for another path if possible, yet knowing that there was no other way. So He committed Himself to the Father's will. To follow Christ as our example, we need to fall on our faces before God and pray. And again, not arguing our case, but following and seeking His will. How many of us have spent time and effort and planning and money on an event for our kids? I'm new to parenthood. It's been a year. June 13th. No. Perhaps you had a lavish birthday party or a vacation, or even this had this happen after Christmas morning once all the gifts were opened, and a short time later the kids are wanting to know what's next, or that they're bored, or what are we going to do? Just think how far their simple statement of thanks would go in making our efforts feel appreciated. I know it makes me willing to make the effort again the next time. Do you imagine that our Heavenly Father ever feels the same way? Are our prayers always focused upon what we want or think we need, or telling Him that He needs to fix something that is wrong in our lives? Can the pot say to the potter, "He knows nothing"? Isaiah 16b. Should not all of our prayers begin as prayers of praise and thanksgiving to be to the praise and glory of God? If the focus of our prayer time, our closet time, our devotional time, cleaning the house time, driving the car time, was spent praising, thanking, and glorifying God for what He has already done for us, our problems would not carry the weight that we allow them to have in our lives. The fact that He sent His one and only Son, His only begotten Son, to die for our sins, giving those of us who believe and have accepted His Son as our Lord and Savior eternal life with Him in heaven, what else do we need to ask of Him? In Psalms 9, 1 through 12, "I will praise You, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all of Your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High." In Psalms 167, 7 through 9, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, but He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices." The Psalms are filled with praises unto the Lord our God, and that is how our prayers should be filled with praises, glory, blessings, and thanksgiving unto the Lord, for He alone is worthy of our praise. We should be praising and thanking Him first, and then we may bring forth our prayers of intercession and petition, because He instructs us to do that as well. He, of course, already knows what we are willing, what we'll be asking, as stated before, but it shows our love and trust in God the Father to bring forth our requests. To intercede for someone is to plead or petition in behalf of another or for others. And intercessory prayers are often the types of prayers which, as a body of believers, we are called upon to pray. And my husband and I have received the direct benefit of these prayers while we've been dealing with this cancer. And I can tell you that they are working. God has been so gracious. Upon hearing those three words, "You have cancer," your life changes in an instant. I know that many of you have also shared that same experience, either for yourself personally or that of a loved one. I've now heard those three words twice in my life. The first being with my father 16 years ago, and just like now, God has used it for His perfect plan. My father's cancer brought Larry and I to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then again on March 3rd of this year, we heard those words. Larry was diagnosed with a form of blood cancer, and you as sisters in Christ and this body of believers has been holding us up in prayer. And God's will is being done. People were praying for us when we were still in shock, and we were unable to pray for ourselves. Many of the mundane, time-consuming, totally unimportant things have lost their focus in our lives. They're not important. God has taken that place where we should have had Him first in our lives. He has been so gracious to forgive us of that sin. And it would be my wish for that we would all live every day of our lives as though we have heard those three words. In fact, we really do, because only God knows the numbers of days that we have. So we should place God our Father and then our loved ones at the forefront of all that we do. giving him the glory for everything. When someone we know has asked us to pray for them, we need to take that request very seriously and unselfishly give of our time to be a prayer warrior and to go before the throne of God with that request. What an honor it is to have a sister or some brother in Christ come to you and ask you to hold them up in prayer. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. We need to pour out our hearts for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and hold up their requests during our prayer time. So instead of getting a cup of coffee and checking your emails, why don't we begin our mornings before the Creator, thanking, praising, and glorifying him for his name for all that he's done for us. His answers will beat any message that you will ever find on your computer. Let us pray. Precious Jesus, you are so awesome, Father. You give so much to us. Your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. You restore us every day. Your mercies are new and fresh every morning. Your word is rich with direction for how we are to live our lives. Father, I just ask that each of these women here and myself foremost, that we just place you at the forefront of everything that we do and say in our lives. That we take your direction, Father, and we begin our morning giving you the praise and the glory that you deserve. That we humble ourselves and ask what it would be your will for that day in our lives. That we seek you out throughout the day. That we ask and for your strength, your guidance. And Father, we just thank you for the wonderful blessing of a sacrifice that your Son gave for us. That he was willing to die while we were still sinners. While we were separated from him, he hung on that cross. So that we would be able to come to you and humbly submit our petitions. Father, you are an awesome God, and we thank you and love you and give you the praise. In your Son's precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Karen.
I am so excited about the song that we're going to do on Wednesday night.
Yeah. So come on Wednesday night to hear Pastor Tim or whoever's going to be, I think he's predominantly going to be teaching, but he's going to be teaching through the Psalms on Wednesday night. Are you stuck? Are you wrecking your shirt? Oh.
You
been
there?
Thanks, Karen.
So she can wear My mom's gonna ask, Dad, is that what they keep going?
Yeah. The doctor?
Giant.
And you know that's fine. That's
exactly. Did she get to tell
that?
Yes.
That one little bottle, when you have to buy it, is just for you. I had to buy the first one. Then the second one, they give you.
Oh, okay.
but you know, it's like this is much of it. You know, $55.
Don't drop it or anything.
Yeah.
I swear.
Okay, it's a very good sermon either today. And it's so funny because I've been hearing about prayer this whole week, and it's kind of so weird. I keep hearing the same thing over and over again.
Thank you.
have a keyboard, everyone. I think I'll just bring it down and give it to
them. Yeah, she'll be okay.
Well, the keyboard's kind of handy because you can fold up really easy. And you know,